Welcome to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is a global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.
This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Brian Stierud. Brian is the Chief Information Officer with the Faith Regional Health System. We're going to talk to Brian about really three topics today. We'll talk about COVID-19 and what he's seeing in his system in his area, but then we'll focus more today on how he views staying mentally and physically healthy during this period of COVID-19. We'll have to have Brian with us for 10, 15 minutes. Brian, can you take a moment and introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah, thanks, Scott. I'm happy to participate and love the publication and all the methods that you distribute it is something that we watch on a regular basis. So I want to throw that shout in there. So I'm Brian Stierud, Chief Information Officer at Faith Regional Health Services, and we're in Northeast Nebraska, Regional Referral Center here in Northeast Nebraska. I have a thriving multi-specialty employed provider practice as well, and serve a pretty wide geography here in Northeast Nebraska. I am from Eastern South Dakota, so I've been here for very quickly. It'll be about 8 years that I've been in Nebraska in this role.
Oh, fantastic. And tell us a little bit about living in South Dakota versus Nebraska. You know, so much of our world is in these big cities on the coast and so forth. 2 seconds on South Dakota versus Nebraska, similarities, differences, and so forth.
I love that question. I always jokingly say that I moved about 3 hours south to the warmer weather. And as most people know, it's still not warm in Nebraska. But it is kind of funny that it is actually 10 to 15 degrees warmer a lot of the time. And that can make a big difference when it's in the bitter cold of the winter. Pretty similar demeanor, pretty similar cultures, I think, in South Dakota and Nebraska. We've been really, really happy here. A little bit more football, Cornhusker oriented as you get into Nebraska for the college football team. But yeah, it's very similar. If you've been to Nebraska, most people will say it's flat. If you're from South Dakota, then you would say it's hilly because Eastern South Dakota is pretty flat.
Fascinating. Now, as someone who grew up watching the Cornhuskers being fantastic, it has been a challenging last decade compared to where their dominance was in sort of the 70s and the 80s and so forth. But I do digress. Let me ask you, in the area of the world that you're in, what's the COVID-19 situation currently? What are you seeing? What's going on there?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, obviously, we're in the middle part of the country, so we didn't see it in the same time span as some of the other on the hot spots in the coast. As we've seen testing increase locally, we've seen an increase in positive cases. So like other rural communities in this part of the country, actually, and it's another similarity to South Dakota and Nebraska, a lot of manufacturing that have essential services. So as we've seen testing increase with those, we've seen an increase the last few weeks as we've done more mass testing. But things have been manageable. You know, I think we started preparation very early and really took this seriously very quickly early on due to the leadership of our CEO. And so through that diligent preparation and planning and monitoring, really put us in a good position to take care of all patients, both COVID and non-COVID, and we've been able to do a nice job there. Last couple months, really, that preparation, allowed us to get a lot of things in place, a lot of alternative measures. We've started to think about what's Plan B, what's Plan C, and stayed ahead of the wave that way. And really, have maintained a pretty great relationship with our local health department, our regional providers, state agencies, and have had very consistent communication with them, and open and honest communication has really allowed us to handle this the best way we can and you know, maintain the necessary capacity to prepare for a potential surge, as well as take care of our other non-COVID patients and be able to handle elective procedures. That's something that we started doing elective procedures about a week ago, and have been able to maintain the thresholds that we need in order to keep those patients in our system from an elective perspective as well.
How is the elective procedures going? How is it ramping up? Are you back to 25% of normal, 10% of normal, 30% of normal? And I ask, is it so important to the health system revenues to keep health systems working? What's the sense of it so far?
Yeah, it's a really great question. I don't know if I can for sure answer it. You know, we're only about a week in. You know, there's a lot of things where people are going to have their interest will be dependent upon their comfort level. We think we've done a really great job at and doing everything the best practice way and the safest way for our patients and feel like this is a very safe environment for them to come to and have those procedures done. I can't really comment on where I feel we're at in terms of regaining those, but that is a big part of our financial position.
Thank you for that perspective on sort of the health system and what's going on and sort of getting elective surgeries going again. That must be so welcome. A different set of questions. Talk for a moment about physical and mental health. What do you see? What do you suggest? What works for you during sort of this period of time?
Yeah, I'm excited and passionate to talk about this for a number of different reasons. I will say just from the way beginning relative to COVID, I think it was our CEO that said it's important to maintain a normal routine. If you can maintain a normal routine in your day, we know this is a marathon and it's not a sprint. And being able to retain routine and normalcy as best you can is going to take us a long way. And that is really great advice. That's what I think. A lot of people that have been successful have been able to do. It's what I have been able to do in terms of trying to stay healthy. I'm a runner. So one of the fantastic things about being a runner is that you can do that and still follow all the rules and maintain social distancing, especially in Northeast Nebraska. I guess maybe it's a little bit different if you're running somewhere else, but here it's very, very easy to do that kind of thing. So, that's definitely something that, regardless of COVID or not, keeps my stress level down, keeps me sane, I guess I'll say, in terms of having that release.
No, and that helps you. The running helps you physically stay fit. It also helps you keep a structure and a routine, and also good for mental health.
Yeah, it's like for me and for a lot of people, it's definitely that ability to get out and kind of just forget about things, hit the road and run, whether it's listening to music or a podcast or just to nature, makes a really big difference. It's something that is important to me personally. Not a lot of people know so I've been in healthcare for around 12, 13 years, but that's also about the same time period where I actually have lost a significant amount of weight. So my 12-year-old, when she was born, I was almost 100 pounds heavier than I am today. So something that has guided me over that period of time, and that's why I'm so passionate about it, has been the idea that, you know, maintaining good nutrition and being able to exercise on a regular basis has changed my life so much for the positive over that period. And in a normal time, it's a big deal to me. And so certainly when you think about COVID and those sorts of things, it's really something that I think helps me stay sharp. And I think others could probably sympathize with that and understand that routine and getting out and be able to exercise on a regular basis certainly helps in this time.
And so important for your own health and such a great example for your child as well. Take us for a moment through the journey of losing 100 pounds. What did that look like? What did that feel like? How did you do that?
Yeah, it's funny. Like I said, people that are closer to me know this story a little bit, so it's repetitive for them. But I've, basically, when when my daughter was born, we knew we didn't, my wife and I were done having children. We knew that this was our second child, and we knew we weren't going to have any more children. And I'd really never paid a whole lot of attention to my health or my weight at that point in my life. And my wife, on the other hand, was, hey, we're done having kids. This is it's just time to diet, basically. And so I probably lost the first 60 pounds just based on just dieting. Just very simple changes. When you're that far overweight, honestly, it doesn't take very much to lose the first 20, 30, 40 pounds. And then you just start to see that momentum. And then I started running around 10 years ago or so. So a couple of years into it. So I definitely am a big believer in losing it over a longer period of time. I was able to lose that over a, you know, to get to 100 probably took me probably 4 years or so, 3 or 4 years.
And you can't,
so,
you,
I'm
can't
a big believer.
You can't run it off. I mean, you almost had to start with better diet, because at 100 pounds overweight, if you try and run it off, you'll basically destroy your knees and your legs and stuff like that. Is that a fair statement? It sort of has to be a working together to make that work.
Yeah, it's a good point. You know, I never really thought that much about it. When I started running, I definitely had some struggles with knee issues and that kind of thing. A lot of it had to do with I have very flat feet, so it had to do with getting in the right shoe and that kind of thing. But yeah, it's well taken. There's a lot of studies that talk about for every X number of pounds that you have when you're running, let's say in a half marathon, if you, you can reduce the number of, your time by a certain, seconds or minutes or whatever. So it definitely has an impact how much you're carrying.
Absolutely. It's an inspiring thing, Brian. It really is. It's like, I wish we'd gotten to this part earlier in the podcast. If anybody that's made that journey of losing 100 pounds, you would have never thought at that point that a pandemic would come, and the fact that you had lost 100 pounds would greatly increase your chances of surviving the pandemic. Not in a million years would you have put those two together, I bet.
No, no. And you think about a lot of the things that we focus on here as a healthcare system, in terms of our community health improvement plan, they boil down to obesity. So if you look at some of the major disease groups, the way that we've attacked them locally in our community plan has been to start with obesity, just because that factor drives so many other chronic diseases that folks have. So whether it's COVID or something else, I'm at dramatically reduced risk, actually, in being 10 years older, I'm still a way lower risk than I was when I started. So it definitely makes a difference.
So one more question. Your go-to athletic activity is running. What is your go-to food source? It's not an unhealthy food. If you ask my go-to food source when I'm really splurging, it might be something horrible. But what's your go-to food source day in, day out that helps you keep relatively in good shape?
Interesting question. So, it's probably pretty normal for a lot. I mean, for me, it's I'm protein. So it's. I focus on protein. I really avoid, when I'm having fun on the weekends, I definitely, you know, I'm not immune to having a cheeseburger and fries and that kind of thing. I think that's good too. But during the week when I'm kind of focused, it's pretty much protein and vegetables. That's pretty much what I focus on.
Now, you're a Nebraska person. So corn on the cob ever?
Yeah, in the right time for sure. Yep, corn on the cob is pretty fantastic here when it's in season.
And then finally, do you ever beer or wine or drinks? And now you don't have to get into full disclosure, but ever a beer or drink?
So again, I'm a big craft beer guy. I love craft beer. So I try to limit that and kind of keep it. I always jokingly tell people, you know, around here in the office, they'll see how I go about day to day during the week and how my diet is and that kind of thing. And I always say, we need to go out on the weekends, because a lot of times it's a lot different than what it is during the week. So I definitely enjoy craft beer a lot and like trying new, different. I'm always looking for a new IPA or something like that to try. So.
Well, hopefully not too many double IPAs, but fantastic. Well, Brian, it's great to talk to you today, and just an inspiring story. Love hearing what's going on there in the community, And hearing your journey to health and fitness is just magnificent. So thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, I really appreciate it. It's always, I enjoy talking about it, and it's fun to get on and do these sorts of things. So, and again, appreciate all that you do for the healthcare community.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much for listening today. This podcast was brought to you by Becker's Healthcare in conjunction with Intuitive. Intuitive is the global technology leader in minimally invasive care and a pioneer of robotic-assisted surgery.